And I do know, I'm very mindful of what time it is, but this is a very difficult psalm that I'm going to be preaching out of, and I don't want to have to do it again. Everybody all right? I told Brother Scott, I said, man, every time I turn around, David's got another enemy, right? How many enemies can a man have? And I thought I was bad off. Y'all, David had some problems, all right? But I want to read this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to give you the outline that I got. I don't want you to write it down, all right? If you want to write it down, go back and look at Facebook Live. Stay focused. Stay right here with me so I can get through this thing as quickly as possible and get you out of here. But I think it'll help us, all right? Now, we're in Psalm chapter number 10. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Now, how many of y'all have felt like that? Right? Why standest thou afar off, Lord? Have you ever felt like God wasn't there and you're in the middle of your trial, you're in the middle of struggle and God wasn't there? He says, why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? In other words, I'm in distress here and I can't find you. And man, I've been there. I've at least felt like I've been there. I at least have perceived that that's what was going on in my life. But David's problem was not with God. David's problem was with the wicked. And it wasn't necessarily that the wicked was doing something to him where it could have been. We don't have a title for this, and so we really don't know the context of it or the time period of it. But David is concerned about the wicked and the fact that they're living their life as if God does not exist and nothing's being done about it. And David is sitting here living for God and saying, "What? Why am I having to go through this?" I think it's probably before he was king. I'm thinking this is probably happening because he's talking about how they afflict the poor and he's asking God to help the poor. And I'm just kind of thinking that it might be David as a shepherd, David as a young man, rather than David as king and David as powerful. I'm thinking that he might be looking at Saul and Saul's life and saying, how can somebody do this and get away with it? I had two titles I was going to go with on this, and I didn't write any of them down on my paper. I got them in my notes in there, but I was going to go with, that just ain't right. Have you ever seen something you say, that just ain't right? I mean, somebody, you see something unfair and say, man, that just ain't right. It's unfair, all right? But then the other title that I had with this was this, the enemy within. Because you know what? We're not very far from being the wicked. And so we must guard ourselves too, all right? So let's read a little bit more, and I'm going to give you some points as we read probably. That might be the best. But it says, he says, verse number 2, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesses the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. He said, the things that God loves are the things that God hates rather. The wicked exalts it. He boasts of it. Have you ever been there? Come on, y'all, help me now. Have you ever been there and you look at people on the outside? Man, you coming to church, you coming, you do it. You're coming on Sunday morning, you're coming on Sunday night, you're coming to college, you're coming to all these things, Wednesday night church and all this, and you're trying your best to live for God. Sure, you make mistakes, we all do, but you're trying your best to live for God, and then you got these heathens that you know of. Don't care nothing about church. Don't care nothing about God. Live their life completely opposite of everything that God says. And it seems like they're prospering and you're up here struggling to pay a bill. And you say, where in the world are you, Lord? This is what David was going through. He said, man, the wicked, they're boasting of things that God hates. God abhorreth these things, and they're in their pride. They're just living life as if God doesn't even exist, and it seems like they're prospering. David says in verse number 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. He says his ways are always grievous, and thy judgments are far out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Lord, help, that never comes out of my mouth. I mean, this guy's full of pride. His mouth, the Bible says in verse number 7, is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Man, I'm going to tell you, if there is one thing you can, man, you can punch me and I get over it. I'm going to say that again. You can punch me and I'll get over it. You might not, but I'll get over it. Is everybody all right? You can punch me and I'll get over it. All right? You might not get over it, but I'll get over it. You can punch me and I'll get over it. I'll get over it. You can hurt me and I'll get over it. But there's some things that you can say to me that I'll struggle with from here to eternity. I'll struggle with for the rest of my life, Brother Scott, till I'm laid in the grave. I will struggle with it. Now, I know, hold on a minute. That don't mean I don't forgive you for them. It's just things that I'll struggle with from here on out. Words hurt. Come on, help me right here. Them old lying stuff we used to sing in elementary school. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Man, I need somebody to help me. I got broken bones. I've had broken bones and they heal. But these words that have been said to me and things that have been said to me that have yet to heal. Things that they scarred over, but they, before you know it, how many of you know this right here? It's like a Band-Aid gets ripped off every now and then. And all of a sudden, it's hurting again. They may not even have done anything, but it's hurting again. And David's saying that, man, have you ever been around somebody, everything out of their mouth cuts like a knife? He says, verse number 8, he sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privately set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones or his strong members, his hands is what it's saying. And he says, he hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it. The Bible says, he says in this wicked man, says in his heart, God ain't seeing none of this. Once again, everything that we've read about the wicked man, you can take right back to verse number 2, talking about in his pride. In his pride. He goes on in verse number, where am I at? Verse number 12. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? That means he hates or rebukes or rejects God. He said, he has said in his heart, thou will not require it. He says, thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Now here comes a David prayer. Everybody ready for it? Verse number 15. You got to love David right here. His passion. He says, break thou the arm of the wicked. Okay. He says, and the evil man, seek out his wickedness till thou find none. I was talking to Brother Scott today. We was looking in chapter number 55 of Psalms. And David said, Lord, let him go down into hell. David's rough, all right? David's rough, okay? But anyhow, verse number 16, the Bible says, the Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. Now David's dealing with an enemy within. David's dealing with somebody, and not an enemy on the outside, but he is dealing with an enemy within. Though he is talking about a wicked man, it is him that is struggling with what's being done. It's not necessarily that a wicked man is doing anything to him. It's him that is struggling with what's being done in the world. And now listen to me now, and let's see if we can grab a hold of this. Because oftentimes you and I have a problem with the Lord and the way he deals with things on somebody that's really not affecting us whatsoever. Okay? We see things that go on in the world. We have it. We see death. We see something else that happens in the world. And because we don't have an understanding of what God is doing in the situation, all of a sudden you and I are struggling with something that does not even directly affect us. And we get bogged down in it. and we form bitterness over it. Come on, y'all, help me now. Have you ever been there? Something that doesn't directly affect you, something that does not absolutely happen to you, but we seem to question God's judgment in it, God's whereabouts in it. God, come on, help me, y'all. I went through this with my best friend's dad. I told y'all this. Y'all have heard this story before, but I'm going to use it again. When Brother Bobby died, he was the greatest Christian I knew. And when I watched that man die in a bed from cancer and watch cancer eat him to the point where this big old burly man that used to work on tractors and this big old burly man that owned a business, a propane business, and moved tanks around with one hand, this big old man that take his belt off and tear my behind up, this big old man that could just speak to me and I would just melt, all right, and do whatever he told me to do. I watched him as he withered to nothing, and I could not understand it. Because as far as I was concerned, Brother Scott, he was the greatest Christian I ever knew. And I couldn't understand why the greatest Christian that I ever knew was suffering in a bed when the people that I worked with didn't care nothing about God, and they seemed to have everything going their way. And I struggled with that. I mean, kept me out of church, struggled. You need to come back to church. I ain't come back to church. Why would I come to church? God allowed this to happen to Bobby. Greatest Christian I ever known. God allowed it to happen to him. I got people that hate God. I work with people that hate God. I got people around me that don't want nothing to do with God. And everything that seems to be, everything in their life seems to be going great. And I think we struggle with things like that. I think if we were honest, we all struggle with things like that. We wouldn't want to be honest about it, because to be honest about that, we'd have to admit that we got some faults of our own. But we struggle with things like this. We look at the wicked, and I notice in the scripture of the wicked, I notice the attitude of the wicked. He brags on his sin. He exalts those who obtain wealth dishonestly. That's all right there in verse number 3. Let me get back to it. It's all right there in verse number 3. It says, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesses the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth." He brags on his sin, and he exalts those who obtain wealth dishonest. He refuses to seek God in verse number 4. His thoughts are that there is no God. That's what that means when it says they will not seek after God in verse number 4, and it says God is not in all his thoughts. The translation, another translation of that, when you're looking at this, when you go into the Greek, not the Greek, but the Hebrew, and look at that, it says, it could be translated like this: his thoughts are there is no God. We see that he holds to a false sense of security. He says in his heart, verse number 6, "I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity." And he believes that God doesn't even see him. In other words, he thinks there's no accountability. Verse number 11 says, "He has said in his heart, God had forgotten, he hideth his face, he will never see it." Boy, that's something I've been on for a while. I'm going to tell you, a lot of commentators, one of my favorites, he said this about this. He said, a lot of Christians are living as if God doesn't exist, and he used this verse right here. He called it this, practical atheism. There's literal atheism, and that's people that don't believe that there is a God. But practical atheism, he says, is being practiced in our churches. We know there's a God, but we live as though there isn't. I thought it was really good. It sums up the average Christian of our day. It sums up the average Christian of our day. They know that there's a God and they believe there's a God, but they live as if there isn't one. We see the attitude of the wicked. We see the actions of the wicked. He is conceited, arrogant. He is corrupted. The Bible says here, and grievous, this word grievous in verse number 5, his ways are always grievous, means twisted. Oh, come on, we know some folks like that. His communication, the Bible says he curses. What does it say? It says his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud, and under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Yeah, I wrote down cursing, deceitfulness, lying, gossip, hurtfulness. I mean, every time he opened his mouth, like a knife. And then his cruelty, the Bible says he's lurking, he's waiting, he's sitting in the lurking places of the village, in the secret places that he murdered an innocent. His eyes are privately set against the poor. He lieth in wait. All these things We see is his actions. And then we see the accounting of the wicked. And I'm done. All right, is everybody ready? I told you I was going to do it real quickly. So we had the attitude of the wicked. We looked at he boasted. He got all of everything about his attitude says this. He's prideful. Goes all the way back to verse number 2. Pride. It covers everything. Everything I mentioned is covered in that first verse. And verse number 2 there. Pride. His actions. He lives as if there is no God. Yes, God doesn't see. He carries on throughout his life and he lives as if God, there is no God. God doesn't exist. But the accounting of the wicked is one day he's going to stand before. Listen to what David says here. The Lord is King. That's a capital K. Has everybody got that? The Lord is King forever and ever. There's coming a day where the wicked is going to stand before the Lord and they're going to give an account. Now, why did I say all that? Man, I told y'all, it's a hard time. I was looking for, well, God, where am I going to find praise in this? God, where am I going to find something that we can take and we can do? And this is what I come up with. Maybe it'll be a blessing to you. Fact is, I can't control what goes on at all in this world. I can't control what you do. I can't control what you do. You do. Is everybody all right? And especially what everybody out there does. All right? So, to avoid falling into a pit of bitterness over what's going on and stuff that I can't control, how do I get through it? Number one, expect it. Expect it. Now, that don't mean that expect that everybody is going to do you wrong. It don't mean that everybody expect that everybody is going to hurt you. But when it happens, Brother Scott, it ought not be a surprise to us. We battle a real enemy. And if he can turn things around on us, and if he can hurt us, and he's going to do it. And he's going to use people in the church. He's going to use people in our families. He's going to use people on our job site. He's going to use people that we come in contact with just casually. He's got somebody waiting on us down the road, Jackson. He's got somebody waiting on us tomorrow. He's already devising a plan. So what can you do about it? Expect it. You ain't got to like it. Don't mean you have to like it, but expect it. Is everybody with me? When somebody outside, hey, when a lost person, when a wicked person does something wrong to you, Miss CC, expect it. I can't do anything to control it.
That's right.
I can't do anything to control it. The best thing I can do is expect it. Don't let it hit me by surprise. What does a lost person do? He does what lost people do. Expect it. I think the problem with most of us is that we think that everybody's just going to be like you are. Somebody needs to thank God everybody ain't like we are. I need somebody to say amen right there. So expect it. Number two, trust in God. Brother Robbie, come on. I have to hear that every sermon. Well, if you'd start living, I wouldn't have to keep saying it. Is everybody all right? Trust in God. I can't go out. Listen, somebody does me wrong, I can't go out there and punch them in the mouth. Miss Karen, as much as I want to, I can't do it. So I have to trust God that he's going to take care of me. That's the conclusion David had to come to. God, you know what's going on here. The wicked may think that he's not being seen, that you're not seeing him, but David said it in the scripture. He said, but you see it. Trust God. He knows what's going on. Listen, it didn't take God by surprise what they did. And God didn't miss what they did. So trust him to handle it in his time. Now my time and your time, it's not on God's time. My time and your time is, hey, I'll deal with this right now, Lord. His time may be, I need somebody to help me right here. He's long-suffering, so his time might be a couple years from now. His time may be on out there. Now, before we get all upset about that, he's been long-suffering with us too. Because he sure should have killed me. Jesse, he sure should have killed you. He sure should have killed me way before he give us an opportunity to get saved. I need somebody to help me. Before we start complaining about God's long suffering, let's look back in our own life. We shouldn't be where we're at. We shouldn't be who we are today. Man, I think back, if I'd have been born back in the days of Moses, I'd be dead. I'd be one of them rebellious teenagers they took outside the camp and stoned. I need somebody to help me. Thank God I got, I need, y'all better help. Thank God I got born. Some teenagers need to be glad right now. You would have never made it. Never. You've been dead 5 years ago. I wouldn't even have got, you longer than that. Me and, I need some help. Me and Michelle would have had 25 kids by now because we would have lost all 24. Been working on that last one, hoping that they didn't. Right? God was long-suffering to us. So before we gripe about his long-suffering with somebody that's hurting us, let's trust God and trust his timing. Amen? So we got to expect it. And we got to trust God that God's going to deal with it in his timing. God knows when the right time. I need somebody to help me. God knows when the right timing. Have y'all ever done something, and I got to hurry, but have y'all ever done something, and they knew it, and you knew it, but they didn't say nothing about it? And maybe it was a year later, maybe it was 5 years later, and in a conversation, they brought, Jeremy, why are you laughing? He's been there. I know it's happened to me. All of a sudden, boom. I mean, it's like, timing was best then. God knows the timing. Trust God in the situation. And lastly, stay grateful. Okay? It's easy to get our eyes on somebody else and say, why is God allowing them to live and do this? Why is God allowing them to prosper? Why is God allowing this to happen when they're wicked? But the fact of the matter is though our bank account may not be full, I'm talking about a life full of blessings to be grateful for. The fact that I need somebody, y'all don't have to do better than that. We got a life full of blessings to be thankful for. Instead of getting bitter about something that's beyond our control, let's stay grateful about what God has given us. Expect it. Trust in God. Stay grateful. You go to the piano for me, Miss Caitlin. Won't you come up here? Listen. Don't let things outside of your control and the things that people do that are outside of your control affect who you are for God. Don't let bitterness creep in. Don't let these things happen. Don't get to the place like David was, where he allowed what somebody else did that did not even affect him directly, allowed what somebody else has done to affect his own actions, his thoughts, his spiritual world, his relationship with him. Control what you can control. Trust God in what you can. Lord, we thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for the wonderful choir singing. Lord, I know there was a lot of our choir out, a lot of them out there working with those youngins. Lord, I want to say thank you for every one of us. Lord, sacrificing their time to be out there watching our kids. And God, thank you for that. Lord, I'm thankful for those that are faithful and those that did show up, those that are singing. Lord, that blessed us, Lord, through song. God, I want to thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for each person, Lord, those who worked the care team tonight, Lord, those that ushered tonight, Lord, those that just came in with a smile and encouragement to others. Thank you for those that sang and those that, Lord, have just, Lord, do things behind the scene nobody knows about. God, tonight, Lord, I pray that you would continue to strengthen us, Lord, as a family, can strengthen us as a Christian. Lord, I pray tonight we walk out of here and not allow the things that are outside of our control to affect us and how people treat others, how people, not to let the wicked affect, Lord, our relationship with you, our perception of you. God, I pray that we learn to, Lord, expect it. Lord, I pray that we learn to trust in you, trust your timing. Lord, I pray that God would stay grateful, Lord, for what we've been given. It may not be as nice as what they have in our own mind, but God, you gave it to us. May we stay grateful for it. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us as we go our separate ways tonight, as we go home tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd wrap your arms around some of the families that are hurting, struggling. Lord, I think of Courtney and Michael. Lord, I pray that you'd bless them. Lord, I think of Caitlin and Brandon and Miss Scott and Miss Teresa. Lord, Miss Lex, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, comfort them during this time. God, I pray for Miss Tracy Carr. And Lord, I pray that you would be with her during this difficult time. God, I pray that you be with Miss Darlene, her family, Lord, during this difficult time. God, I pray that you be with Monica and them babies, Lord, as they recover. Lord, I'm thankful that they can recover physically, but Lord, I pray in Jesus' name you help them recover mentally. God, I pray for those that are hurting that I know nothing about, things that are going on that I do not know about. God, I pray, Lord, that you would be God in every bit of that. Lord, I pray that they would see you in every bit of it. Draw closer to you, Lord, in their valley. Lord, lean on you, depend on you, trust in you. God, I pray that you would bless them, strengthen them, comfort them. Lord, use, Lord, their valley to help someone else get out of theirs. God, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, you'd love on us for a little bit. Lord, I pray we'd love on you for a lot. Be sure to thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.